The Hebrew word for deliver is a word that means that he snatches out by reflex. In other words, whenever I fall, it's God's reflex to snatch me, to catch me when I fall. I wish I had somebody. And so Jesus, he catches us and pulls us out of the mess that we get ourselves into. And so what he does, he pulls the sheep out. When he gets the sheep out, this is what he does. He breaks the leg of the sheep. He sets the leg back. He puts oil on the leg, and he mends it up and wraps it up. And then he don't expect the sheep to walk on his own. He picks the sheep up, lays him on his shoulder, let his head fall close to his heart so he can hear the heartbeat of the shepherd. And while the sheep can't walk, he feeds the sheep in his out of his own hand. He waters them out of his own hand. And pretty soon the sheep forgets the fact that the shepherd was the one that broke his leg. Oh, come on and say amen. But when the sheep is put back down because of the kindness of the shepherd, he follows the shepherd wherever he goes. That's what David said. He leadeth me beside the still water. He wish I had somebody. He feeded me in a green pasture. Somebody say man here. And so what the sheep realizes is that once the shepherd puts me down and I can walk again, I'm going to follow him. Why? Because when I couldn't walk for myself, he carried me. When I couldn't feed myself, he fed me. When I couldn't water myself, he watered me. And so I'll follow him anywhere. Where he leads me, I will follow. Do I have anybody? Have you ever had your leg broken by the shepherd and the shepherd carried you when you couldn't walk? He lifted you out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, placed your feet on a rock. Anybody in the house that say, I'm the sheep that had to get his leg broke. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to lie and tell you that I've been everything I should have been, but I'm going to tell you the truth. There were some times I had to get my leg broke. I might have had all four of them broke. Come on, I had to get my leg broke every time. He washed me every time. He cleaned me every time. He fed me every time. He lifted me every time. I wish I had somebody in the house. I said, I'm the sifting kind of sheep. I've been let some cut in. I've been in a place that he took me out of. I'm following him because of all that I've been through. He was right there with me. He's a friend that's sticking closer than any brother. Do I have a witness? Oh, I'm getting close to the close, yeah. Oh, glory be to his name. Look at what he says in verse 4, and I'm about to get ready to go. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We got to learn how to come before God with thanksgiving. We need to learn how to come before God being thankful. And the problem is, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That must have been a problem. That must have been people coming in with complaints. It's too early. It's too early to be going to church. I don't feel my knee hurt. I got a headache. You know, complain. Coming into the gate, complaining. Let me tell you something about the gate. If you look at how it was set up, the tabernacle was set up in the wilderness, and you find that God positioned everybody according to tribe. And each tribe was on each side of the quiet of tribe in the tabernacle. Each tribe was in the place. But in the front of the temple, in front of the gate, that was called the tribe Yada, Judah. This tribe was Judah, which means.
We know your hearts have burned with pants. The message of Living Word Ministries. It's at Living Word Ministries. It's at Living Word Pastor, Victoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welsh Street, Hackensack. We're located on Telegram. It's box 68, Tempe, Louisiana. 411. Again, Holden Sr. box 968, Tempe, Louisiana. 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my soul.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel.
Oh, it isn't on your radio.
The gospel.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. K255BT. Monroe. West Monroe. 98.9. K223BI. Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Circling the globe, the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 20, you will find these words. He staggered not at the promise of God, not through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. May the Lord add a blessing to his word. You may be seated in the presence. May the law of God, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Give just a little time. I want to speak from the subject. Don't give up on the promise God made to you. Don't give up on the promise God made to you. This word is an encouraging word. It's a challenging word. It is a word designed to help the believer, whether he or she be young, midlife, or old, to understand life. God is faithful. No matter what your circumstances look like, no matter how long what your trials have been like, no matter how long what you don't get like the promise. Yeah. One of the things that I think about in this word, that we look through it and understand it, my brothers and sisters, how even in this world we have people who have made us promises who have not fulfilled those promises. Truth be told, we've made people some promises that we were unable to fulfill equally as well. That we are familiar with being disappointed when it comes to promises. But one of the things that I am so clear about, the fact that God makes clear that he's not a man that he should lie. One of the things that you must be clear about is that if he said it, if he must be constant, if he declared it, if he decreed it, he will bring it to pass. One of the things that I think also is necessary for you to understand is that you treat God like you treat man concerning his promises. God, concerning his capable, by his capable, by his God is able. I said, God is able.
I said, God is able. Unlike many of us who are unable, we might feel able when we make the promise. We might pray that we're able when it comes time or come due, but God doesn't have that problem. He's got all power in his hand. Now, one of the things that I want you to understand, and just walk through this right quickly, and we'll bring this message to a triumphant close. Look at what the word says in verse 17. It's so important because when we look at this word, as it is written, God has made Abraham a father of many nations. God has made him that. He didn't make himself that. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before whom he believed. Even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Listen now, if God can quicken the dead, raise the dead, let the dead die, stay dead as long as he want them to stay dead, and then tell the dead, you're dead no more, rise, and the dead rise, by simply calling the dead's name. When you got that kind of power, don't you think there ain't much you can't do? But if that isn't enough for ye, he's the same God, not only who can raise the dead, but who can speak those things that be not as though they were. Where do you find that? Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and walk right on through Genesis 1, and everything that God created, he spoke it because it didn't exist. It wasn't there. It was nowhere to be seen, but it was created in his mind. He envisioned it. He saw it. He did it by faith. And when he spoke what he saw in his mind, out of his mouth by faith, it appeared. So now you've got a God who can raise the dead, but then you got a God who can speak those things that be not as though they were. And they suddenly appear. He's the one who made the promise. Can I suggest to you that he has a mighty good reason? Can I suggest to you that if anybody made you a promise who's able to back up that promise, God is able to back up the promise. God is. Verse 18 says, against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Listen, he against hope, Abraham, believed in hope. A lot of times we hear that, but we don't really understand what that means. And I'm going to deal a little bit more with that in verse 19, because verse 19 deals with that. But I need you to hear this, verse 20. Who against hope, meaning he who had nothing to hope in, who had nothing to hope. He who had no reason to hope because of the facts that were clear, because of situation, facts that were clear, because of hope. Listen, not for just the sake of hope, but listen, God suggests the sake of hope, him hope over a hopeless situation. Now, here is what is clear. He knew he couldn't do nothing about it. That's why, against hope, he believed in hope because his hope came in what God promised. Because his hope would do. Listen. According to that which was spoken, who shall thy seed be? Abraham, he has this and he knows it. Abraham, he has this and he knows it. Don't look at your situation and become hopeless just because the situation seem hopeless. I want to say this to you, and I hope you listen to me. Just because your situation seems hopeless doesn't mean you are hopeless. Just because your situation seems hopeless doesn't mean that God is limited to your hopeless. Doesn't mean that God is limited because hopelessness seems to be all around your situation. You have a choice to believe in hopelessness or to go beyond hopelessness and believe in what God promised you. So who against hope? Against hope that he might become the father. Now, verse 19 deals with the fact that he was not weak in faith. He considered not that he was now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet Sarah's was dead. So now, I want you to see three things in this verse, verse 19, that deals with hoping against hope. In this verse, verse 19, here we have faith. Because the Bible said he was not weak in faith. And I got to tell you, if you don't believe God for some things, you can't believe, you can't be weak in faith. Some believers can't get what God promised them because their faith is too weak. What the world is saying, because their faith is weak and weak. And when the world said, was not weak in the fact, in other words, was not here in him, was he was compelled by faith. But though he was compelled by faith, going through what he went through, he did not collapse in his faith. See, some of us got a lot of good faith when we start off, till we start going through. And our faith collapses on us in the midst of our trial, in the midst of our situation, in the midst of our situation. Our faith somehow seems to grow dim on us, grow weak on us, so that it does not take us through. It does not take us through. Say, you got to be strong in faith. But listen at this. He not only considered the fact that he wasn't weak in faith, he didn't consider his body, flesh, say flesh. What was the problem with his flesh? Listen, he was connected to his flesh, but he was not convicted by his flesh. What you talking about, Pastor? He was connected to his flesh, but he wasn't convicted by his flesh. He was well connected with the reality of the fact that he was almost 100 years old, and there were some things he used to do. He couldn't do no more. He ain't like some of us. He was connected. He owned up to the fact that he ain't what he used to be. He didn't go around trying to fool himself, an old man trying to act like a young man. He was connected to his flesh. He understood he was not going to be made a fool of behind his flesh. He understood what he could do no more. And so he did not allow his flesh to convict him like he was able to do something that he knew he could not do in the flesh. But if the flesh weren't enough, listen at this. The fact was he was almost 100 years old. So what the flesh didn't tell him, fact did tell him. Are y'all listening to me here today? I know you might look good for your age, but your age is good for your wisdom. I know you still might have a little pep in your step, but you can't run and jump as high as you used to when you were a young teen. I know you, when you were younger, used to have a hemline higher, but you're older now. Drop that hemline low. You ain't walking slow because you want folk to see you. You walking slow because you can't walk much faster. Act your age. Act like wisdom says you are. I knew I wouldn't get many amens here, but that's all right. I'm preaching truth. Verse 19 talks about faith, talks about flesh, and talks about facts. Neither the deadness of Sarah's womb did he consider. Why? Not because of foolishness, but because of faith. 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 Verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Powerful. He staggered not. Listen. When you begin to look at these words, open them up, define them, you discover certain things. One of the things is very clear about the fact that he staggered not at the promise of who? Through what? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But it doesn't mean he was perfect. See, that's why many of us miss it, because we misinterpret the scripture. He didn't stagger, but he struggled. He said, well, Pastor, when did he struggle? Well, you remember when God told him to leave his homeland, his country, his family, all of that good stuff, and go where God would tell him to go. And on that journey, when he was coming into another country, because Sarah was so beautiful, he told Sarah, listen, I'm going to have to say you're my sister instead of my wife. Because you're so beautiful, the king might kill me in order to get you. So for me to stay alive and keep hope alive, listen, he struggled with telling this the truth. And worse than God. Here's what a whole lot of us don't understand. Does not need us to lie, to help him have truth about what he said he was going to do. He said he was going to make you a father of many nations with Sarah as your wife. That promise was made to the two of them. So why would he have to lie and call her his sister, which was the truth? It was a half-truth. She was his half-sister, but she was his whole wife. She was not his part-time lover. She was his whole wife. But he had to try and fix it so to help God in the promise God made, because if God killed him, then he wouldn't have been able to be the father of many nations. So he didn't stagger at the promise of God, but he did struggle with how God was going to do it. Can I tell you, you don't always know how God's going to do it, but if he said he's going to do it, trust that he's going to do it, whether you understand it or not. One of the other words there is not simply stagger, but stumble. Listen. He didn't stumble, but he slipped. Now, he didn't stumble, but he slipped. Well, Pastor, when did he slip? He slipped when he allowed Sarah to talk him into taking Hagar, her handmaid, and being the surrogate mother of the promise. Now, it had been 14 years since the promise was made. And so he believed God, but now he started thinking that maybe God is going to work it this way. He still believed he was going to be a father of many nations, but now, since Sarah gave permission for Hagar to help in the process, he now figures that through her authorization of Hagar being the helpmeet in this particular situation, that was perhaps how God was going to do it. He slipped from the clear promise that God made. He didn't stumble, but he did slip from the original plan that God gave him. How many of us slip concerning the promises God makes to us because they don't happen when we think they ought to happen? It's been going on too long. We've told too many people what God said. It's been 14 years. How much longer is it going to take? He was actually 75 when God made him the promise. Thirdly, he didn't sabotage the promise, but he did try to stabilize the promise through taking this boy, Ishmael, and using him as the son of promise. And Sarah wouldn't have no part of it, and God wouldn't have no part of it, and God blessed him with Isaac. And now God tells him to take his son Isaac and sacrifice him. To take his only begotten son, the true son of promise. And now, because Abraham had not staggered at the promise of God through unbelief, but through fleshly dealings, he made his mistakes through his fleshly realities of trying to think God's mind in his thoughts, trying to see if God
was going to do it the way that he thought God was going to do it. He tried to help God out when God did not need help in that way, but simply to believe him and trust him.